This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
The Bears defense allowed Jordan Love to throw 261 yards. Certainly some defensive lapses. I'll tell you how they can improve. Montez Sweat. Hey, has anybody seen Montez Sweat? I know, injured. I tweeted out, I wanted to see him get a sack. I was like, I know, and I was watching him. And he was getting double teamed or chipped on every single play because I was literally just watching him like, what is going on? Why isn't he getting to the quarterback? Then in certain situations, he wasn't even on the field and you were like, that's what you needed yesterday. Marcus Walker had the one sack, but you know, there needed to be more pressure on Jordan Love in certain situations. I mean, capitalizing on a 3rd and 11 was just heartbreaking. Yeah, there's just moments like that. The pass rush, certainly an issue for the Chicago Bears. Zach Pickens, man, I want to love you, but I'm disappointed in you. Jervon Dexter, we said your name so much in the beginning of the season, and we've yet to call your name. You've yet to be the disruptor that we need you with Billings gone. No Billings, no Jaquan Brisker. You saw that play with Elijah Hicks, you know, just totally whiffed. And he's good. I like Elijah Hicks. But that's why you're the second stringer. And I do not mean that in a disrespectful way. I mean that solely to say there is someone better than you on the team. His name is Jaquan Brisker, unfortunately. He might not see the field for the rest of the season.
Same draft class. So, yeah, that's yeah. I agree, Gabe.
So, I pointed out simply to say you're missing Billings up front, Jaquan Brisker. Those two guys are there. It would have made a difference in the outcome of the game. But, again, Bears lose by one, put themselves in a position to win. Unfortunately, Cairo Santos couldn't get the trajectory correctly. You know, so many things you can say about this game. It's just so close, so close. Close like the Hail Mary play. No team, I tweeted it out, no team, you should be following me on Twitter, by the way. I'll follow you back while we're doing this thing right here. No team in NFL history, I tweeted this out. Oh, wait, I don't want to get it right because it was painful to tweet out. NFL history shows no team has ever lost two separate games in the same season on the last second Hail Mary touchdown and another on a blocked field goal as time expired. Not one team ever in the history of the NFL. Only your Chicago Bears. That's why little Jack was crying. All right, I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. I am Gabe Ramirez. Glad you guys are hanging out with me. Let's go to Allen out in Buffalo Grove. Allen, what'd you think about the job? Thomas Brown did good. What'd you think about Eberflus's job? You know, getting the men to come to play yesterday for the Chicago Bears.
They were competitive. My thing was, I'm calling about everyone's giving him a hard time on that last play. You know, defensive line, they're depleted. And dumb call. Conservative there. But if he would have tried to go on third, thrown the ball and got a sack or a hole or third chops, he moved back 5 yards, you're out of field goal range. So it wasn't like the worst call. Everyone's calling like, oh, this, like, you guys should do this, do that. But they went, and then there's a hole. Or, you know, Ken Williams, like, times a couple plays early. They're a lot horrible. So he probably said, hey, 46-yarder, most NFL kicker, it wasn't windy. They had to win with him, I think. He should make it. Let's play it smart, because if we run something, we can get a penalty. Sides. There's things that I get that to go for, and it sounds great. But it wasn't a bad call.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks for the call, Alan. I appreciate it. You bring up a good point, right, that of bringing up the mistakes, but I go back to the fact that that is a loser's mentality. Do you understand that, Alan? Like, I get what you're saying. I want to validate it. Yes, the offensive line play, not the greatest. You could have had a pre-snap penalty. The Bears had a ton of them in the first half. But that is a loser's mentality to say, oh, well, you know what? My team's been sucking, so let me not put them in a position to suck. No. No. Men, are you ready? We have lost 3 in a row. We have not beat the Packers in 10 games. We have 20 seconds left. This 46-yard field goal is not guaranteed. So you know what we do? Snap your chin straps. We're running the ball with Roschon Johnson one more time. We're going to make him feel it. And then we're going to call timeout. And then Cairo Santos is going to come out here and kick a field goal. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to make it. And we're going to win. Gentlemen, are you ready to do that? Then let's go get him. That's what you tell your team. You want to know what kind of mentality that is? A winner's mentality. That's the difference. And I understand with 3 minutes left, you say to yourself, well, the line didn't look good on first and second down. Well, I think the issue there was, and this is me Monday morning quarterback, literally, because it's Monday morning. You run the ball on first down. You've been doing it all game long, putting Caleb in second and manageable, third and manageable, so there's less pressure on him to make a miraculous play. Although he did it. Third and 19, are you kidding me? Third and 19 after getting sacked twice and he comes through? Yes. It was great. He is a winner. Caleb Williams is a winner. Now we just need everything else to fall in place. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Charlie out in Plymouth, Indiana. Charlie, thanks for joining the show.
Good morning. Well, wait a minute. You said Caleb Williams is a winner? Is he, though? I mean, because I watched him get his butt handed to him over there when they played Notre Dame. Now, granted, I'm not saying that he's not, but my biggest problem isn't with Caleb. My biggest problem is that you drafted a rookie quarterback, and you let the guy that has never done anything with this organization and Matt Eberflus not only pick a bad offensive coordinator, but still have a job with this gentleman. And what I can't understand, and what I was saying earlier there, is Ben Johnson would be a great guy to have in this organization, but that's a type A personality, and the Bears don't like type A personalities. They like the kind of guys that will say, yes, sir, no, sir. They don't want someone like Jim Harbaugh, who would have came in and shook up the culture of this thing, because that's what you need to have happen. I've been a Bears fan since the late 70s, and, you know, and that's nothing to pat my head on there, because, you know, they've not really been great. I love rooting for them there. I love watching them play. But yesterday when they went down the field, I was thinking to myself, okay, you got it to that point. Why not do the rest of the way? Why not score the touchdown? Why just go for a field goal? Because this is a team that you have lost to 11 straight. Matt LaFleur is not afraid of you. Matt LaFleur owns you, you know? So why not? Why are you relying on a kicker? And I can't even blame that. I can't blame Cairo Santos for missing the kick. The offensive line let the guy right up the middle. And the offensive line has been the problem for a long time there. I mean, how many years have we said the offensive line? Whether it was with Justin Fields, whether it was with Mitch Trubisky, you know, I mean, and then you've got another rookie quarterback. And what are you doing with this kid there? I mean, I thought he played pretty good yesterday Was he great? No, but he at least moved the ball down the field when he did it. And just, you know, you gave your team an opportunity to win, and in typical Matt Eberflus fashion, just play not to lose. Well, I think Mike Ditka said it the best about the prevent defense. When you play prevent defense, it prevents you from winning. Well, when you play prevent offense, it prevents you from winning, because if they were stacking the box like you said they were, and they had 9 men in the box, why not throw it over the top of their 9 men over the box there? Because that's what a coach Andy Reid would have done.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks for the call, Charlie. I mean, listen, you know, whether you think Caleb Williams is a winner or not is debatable. I mean, certainly in his NFL career, he started off 4-2, the first rookie quarterback to ever, first number one pick to ever do that. So certainly a winner there. I hate when people throw out the Notre Dame game. Caleb Williams was 6-0 going into that Notre Dame game. 6-0, but he wasn't a winner. That's funny. Caleb also had a terrible team compared to his first year at USC. And he was 19 and 8 at USC. The kid's a winner. Got you the victory. Put you in a position to win. He's a rookie playing Green Bay for the first time. Has no history with them. Comes down, puts you in a position to kick the field goal for the victory. Certainly a winner in my book. The Flus thing, though, oh, man, that one hurts. Feels like Coach Flus kind of ripped those victories out of Caleb's hands, right? Bears 4-6 right now. Could be 6-4. Tack on any of the victory. That's just those two. That's against the Commanders and the Packers. Had you not fumbled, you know, victories away and teams you should have won, like the Patriots or the Colts earlier in the season, you know, we could play that game. Oh, this hurts. I don't want to play that game. 312-644-6767. Let's go to John. John, good to talk to you out again out there in Memphis, man. What'd you think about this game?
Well, you already know I'm disappointed. How you doing today?
Hey, yeah, I'm doing good, man. I know we're all disappointed for sure.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Caleb Williams, he can't go out there and play special teams or defense.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, everybody coming up with these things, man.
Is he a John? Is he a winner in your book? A winner? Now, I'm not talking about as a human being, right? Is he a winner? He is a winner.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is. Okay. And then the defense kind of taking a step back, you know, because of the injuries and not having Brisker out there and stuff like that. Now, I do want Eberflus to be fired. You know, he's playing too much scared football. I do not like all this conservative type of things. Come on, man. We ain't beat them cats, you know, in what? How many games? Is it 12 now?
This will be the 11th game. So over 5 years.
So, oh, my God. The misery. But I've seen improvement from Caleb having Thomas Brown calling a sensible game for him. I've seen improvement. And I want to remind you, Gabe, now Lovie Smith, he was fired for even less.
Oh, we know that.
You win 10 games. I believe he went 10-6 that season and lost his job.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, John, there's a lot of stuff to really, you know, to dissect with this one, right? I mean, the defense, is there a regression there? I mean, again, you look at the point total in 20, but when you look at the amount of drives they had and points, you know, 6 drives, guys, that's it. If you're looking for a repeatable, if you're looking for something to talk about tomorrow morning when you're talking with your boys or your coworkers or your wife or whatever it is, the Packers had the ball only 6 times yesterday. 3 of them led to touchdowns. One of them was an interception in the red zone, and one of them was a turnover on downs in the red zone. They made it to the red zone 5 times. Packers only punted once. I wish the blitz would have been dialed up a little bit more. The secondary played a phenomenal job. Terrell Smith is great. Jalen Johnson, say what you want, great. looked fired up yesterday. The issue is the front four. Listen, the issue of the Chicago Bears is and has been the line. Offensive and defense. That's been the issue for the Bears for the last 3 or 4 years. When we talk about Caleb Williams, you know how when you're watching a preseason game and then the second string comes in and sometimes they'll leave a couple of starters in? That's what Caleb Williams is doing right now. Braxton Jones, Darnell Wright, and the guys and the fellas in the middle, a rotation of the dudes. It's a second string unit right up the middle. Come on. And then on the other side of the ball, I mean, come on. Darrell Taylor, Martin, along that DeMarcus Walker. Those are your three on opposite of Montez Sweat. It's the guys. And then in the middle, your rotation, Chris Williams, Zach Pickens, Javon Dexter. It's the guys. Especially when Montez Sweat is dealing with a shin injury. It's tough. But there's so many things you could point to in this one. But still feel good and bad at the same time. At least I just don't feel just completely horrible about everything. How do you feel? It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, taking your phone calls. Got a couple more open if you want to get in right here. Don't forget, we got some great guests today. You want to hear from Jalen Johnson? He'll be on with Spiegel and Holmes, 5 p.m. You want to listen to Mark Grody, my guy? 4 o'clock with Spiegel and Holmes as well. DJ Moore will be on at 8 with Mully and Haw. It's just a great show all day today. Make sure you're listening to it. It's Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Damn it, let's go back out to the phones. Billy Bob from Gabe? Is that what that says there on line 7? Billy Bob from Gabe. That's I'm like, he's from me? Is it my son?
It's 1 in the morning here, Gabe. I messed that one up.
I got you. Billy Bob, what's going on, man?
Gabe, how you doing? We've chatted before.
That we have. I can't forget a Billy Bob that calls the Chicago radio show. I can't forget him.
You still hanging with your brother down there at the Horseshoe?
You know it. You know it. I got to get my money, and I'm a real gambler, Billy Bob. And you know it, too.
Unfortunately, I do. Hey, listen, your screener didn't want me to talk about this, but it is sports radio after all.
Yes, I'm so here for it. But do me a favor before you do. Do me a favor. You got to turn off your radio because I can't be hearing it in the background. I don't mind giving you my time on my show, but it's the feedback. That's something that kills me. All right. I'm ready to roll now.
I contend this is all scripted. The whole thing is scripted.
Okay. I'm listening. Tell me more. I'm interested.
And there's never a happy ending in Chicago. Big Brother thinks we don't want to win in Chicago. So
they scripted the blocked field goal was scripted?
Everything's scripted.
Okay. And so the Kansas City Chiefs getting Patrick Mahomes and the Bears picking Mitch Trubisky scripted?
Absolutely. You always looking at that. You know, as a matter of fact, that was in 2017, right?
Something like that.
They took Trubisky. How could you pick that guy out? He was injured his whole senior year at North Carolina. How could you think that the guy who was injured in North Carolina is better than a guy who sends you a tape of him throwing a football over the library at Texas Tech? There's no way you would pick that guy out of the hat.
I hear you. Billy Bob, here's my thing. I don't know if the NFL is necessarily scripted. It might be a little too difficult to do. I do think that if you're looking for an explanation as to why the Bears have been so horrid over the last decade or so, I think you can actually point to some conspiracy theories like that. If you know, because you're like, there's no other way I can explain this, right? It has to be something like that. But the Bears ended up getting Caleb Williams. Was that part scripted? Billy Bob?
Don't get me going on this. Did you watch the game out of Madison last night?
Oregon and Wisconsin, yeah.
They had a blurb there where the quarterback in Oregon has the highest completion ratio in college football.
Yeah.
So I went to the internet because I got nothing else to do with my life. And he's not even listed on any of the four sites as a candidate for the Heisman Trophy. Now, how can you be leading the number one team in the country, and you have the highest completion ratio, and they've excluded you from being a candidate for the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, here's the thing, Billy Bob. There are some other guys in college football that are really, really good, right? Jalen Milroe is playing out of his mind right now, dual threat quarterback, just great, right? Austin Jeancey from Boise State, running back that is just, oh my God, he's running for like 200 yards a game. And then, of course, Travis Hunter, right? You're playing cornerback and wide receiver for a team that could find themselves in the college football playoffs. Yeah, and then you got a quarterback who plays for a really good team, the number one team in one of the top conferences in college football. And it's a team effort. I think that's what people see there. Anyways, going back to the scripted thing, it can't be. It can't be, damn it, because since 1985, the scriptwriters are like, nah, the Bears, you're not going to get it. Time to fire that scriptwriter. All right, let's take some more phone calls. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Stan the Man on the north side. Stan, what's going on, brother?
How are you? Hey, I enjoyed the game today.
What did you enjoy about it?
I enjoyed especially the end of the game. When that kid came back, the guy quarterback, and made those three fantastic passes, plus those are pretty good catches too, you know, like diving into the dirt, grabbing the ball, and then the 19-yard, what was it, third and 19 or something?
Yeah,
it was terrific. It was really great. But the thing that really irritates me about the game is that the coach doesn't throw a red flag out at the end of the game, because here it is, this guy's breaking through the line, he's got his right hand on our offensive lineman's shoulder, and he doesn't get up as high without pushing off that guy and blocking that kick. And the week before, we had that penalty called against us. I forget what they called
it. Yeah, the leverage. It's called the leverage penalty.
Leverage kick. Just look at the three-foot. The guy doesn't get up that high without him putting his hand on the guy and jumping up. It's amazing. I'm looking there, and I'm like dumbfounded. I said, well, we got this made. We're going to get 15 yards closer. And then everybody runs off the field.
Stan, I know you've been watching the Bears for a while. Is this up there in one of the most heartbreakers? Is this one of the most heartbreaking ones?
No. That was because this kid's just learning. So he's going to be great. We got to get rid of these coaches. This kid's going to be destroyed if they keep getting him beaten up like this.
Yeah.
Even after he got sacked twice, he turns around and boom, boom, boom. We need Jim Finks back drafting for us, so we can get an offensive line that's tougher than our defensive line.
You're right. Stan, do you feel like the Bears do you feel like the Bears have turned a corner in this rivalry?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
There's no doubt in my mind. More by, you know what, if you remember how good the Bear teams were, you know, 30 years ago, the first time the team got the ball, first of all, why do you win the coin flip and then you give the ball to the other team to put you in the hole? Why don't you, score the first points? But in the old days, they run that right down the field. Boom, 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 touchdown. Boom, boom, boom. That was it. They were done for the day, the team against your defense. Because after that, I mean, we had teams that were 13-3. You know, they were fantastic. Our defenses were so great. It was unbelievable. And it was the line and the linebackers. You know, we had guys in our defensive backfield they called toast because they got burnt so much. I mean, it was crazy. But because we had that great offensive line, defensive line, and the linebackers like Singletary.
Yeah.
And by the way, there was a guy on here that just said, you know, they got rid of Lovie Smith too soon. They got rid of Lovie Smith after he hit Urlacher playing in a game that meant nothing. And he said, well, he was preparing for next season. That's what cost Lovie his job.
Yeah, Stan, thanks for the call, man. You bring up some good points. I mean, from the very beginning, Stan, what you said was that Caleb Williams looked good at the end of that fourth quarter when he had just three amazing passes, right? Roma Dunze, and then Keenan Allen. It was great to see. Bears moving the ball, you know? The coaching staff certainly, The last play, I mean, you know, you're not supposed to touch the center, and but you just can't do it. Patrick Manley, let me see. Tyler's taking phone calls right now, but I'm going to play a cut in a second from Patrick Manley where he describes essentially what happens. The Patrick Manley clip that I asked you to cut up, Tyler did it. Tyler's been doing a great job here, man. Tyler Ferengoff, if you're listening to producers' names, you know, whoever's on the radio here at the Score should be saying who the producer is, because these guys are doing God's work, literally. And, you know, I send them clips, you know, and it's like, dude, you're already working overnight. You're working on a bunch of stuff, cutting clips for everybody. So I'm really grateful that he went out. Tyler, I'm really grateful that you did that. And I want you guys to hear this clip that he cut up. It's Patrick Manley. It is beautiful. Beautiful. When you listen to him talk about who's not at fault, per se, on that field goal block. And I remember Patrick Manley, long snapper for the Bears for such a long time. So he understands that process very well. But he talked about what went wrong and what mentality was missing and who was at fault for not instilling that mentality on that last play. Take a listen.
Let me tell you this. If you get two more yards that play, it's still getting blocked. That's the thing. So, okay, if you get 10, maybe not. Maybe he can get a little more height on it because he has to drive it when he's farther back. But I still just – you have to do your job up front as well. So, listen, if you know your kicker is a low ball kicker, like a more of a driving kicker, you as a coach have to tell your guys up front, when we back up, we got a 46 to 52-yard field goal. You have to be more stout up front. And then especially in this situation where they're coming harder, it just feels a whole lot different than there. It's like a whole different level. It's like when you get to playoff football compared to like just regular season football where everything's faster, everybody hits harder, whatever. On a game-winning kick, it's a different level intensity. You've got to match that, and you've got to also understand your kicker will drive the ball a little bit. So you can argue it either way. It's a 46-yard field goal. You should make that. You can't fire off because they can swim you and pull you to the ground. It's just you have to have that little more intensity in that block. I call it a spike step. Your little spike step has to be a little stronger in the ground. You just have to stay stronger and understand that the force from them is coming a little harder. And it is. It is like you just kind of lean a little bit more forward than you usually do because you know they're just trying to run you over. That's what they're going to do, unless you've scouted a look where you know they're a swim team. And this one, you saw them the whole game. Like I told Olin, I go, watch the left side. They were just running them over every time. And that's it's the little details. Going back right to details and the special team details that needed to be coached and need to be executed as well. I can't say that it wasn't coached. They just didn't execute it.
Patrick Manley, I mean, first of all, just an all-around good guy, knows the game better than most. We love having him on our post game here on 670 The Score. And he's a long snapper that played on special teams. The legend of of special teamers here in Chicago. Patrick Manley, stop it. And he's explaining to you what I heard from that was everyone needs to understand this play is going to take a little more. This is not going to be a regular field goal kick where you go through your regular process. You have to put the foot in the dirt. You have to have a little more twitch on your blocking. There needs to be a little more oomph. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. Tyler, can I take one more? I want to take Ryan from Oak Forest. I feel like he's been waiting a while. Do you mind? Yeah, let's go to Ryan in Oak Forest. Hey, Ryan, I appreciate you holding on, man. That's why I wanted to get you before this commercial break.
Yeah, thanks, Gabe. Hey, you know, this game had me feeling like a 10-year-old all the way up until that kick.
Why? Why a 10-year-old?
I mean, shoot, it feels like we haven't won in 10 years. I mean, it's divided by two, but I was just so excited for us to finally beat, you know, them, right? Now, I like the general consensus that now is not the time to blame Cairo Santos. I know I'm not the only one who could say that I trusted him, but I had this really weird feeling in the back of my mind.
So I'm going to talk about defense. And I'm frustrated with them, too. Fans will be listening like, why is this guy wasting airtime talking about our defense? They were fine. Well, I'll tell you why. I could have been quicker at the second and third level, but I specifically want to touch on the defensive line. Now, I know we had some big-time injuries, but even with that being said, games like this are going to put a pass rusher on the top of our draft board for next year, meaning we'll pass on a talented offensive lineman yet again. Warren Cruz will be the only one concerned about it because draft day is usually CISOs and balloons or whatever, and we'll just call him crazy until we all get a taste of how much it screwed us. Nobody says a thing about a pass rush until draft season. Well, I'm saying it now. Caleb and Swift would run circles around our D-line. I mean, can you imagine how scrimmage must be like at practice with our O-line and defensive line? It's like a pillow fight. On the bright side, it's pretty obvious that the Packers would get smoked in the first round of the playoffs. We were the better team. We'd have won by a comfortable margin with Montez and Billings, you know.
I should say Brisker and Billings, because I did forget Montez did play. He just didn't really feel like it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate the call, Ryan. And, I mean, you bring up some great points. The defense certainly didn't live up to the billing today, right? I mean, I'll give you some key stats. I know, obviously, this number is inflated by Christian Watson's couple of passes that went very long, right? So, but even if you took those out, the Green Bay Packers yards per pass, 14. Isn't that insane? They're averaging 14 yards per pass. And again, even if you took out Christian Watson's long passes, it'd probably still be in the 10-yard range, right? And even that is far too much. In comparison, the Bears, 6.2 yards per pass. Packers just 1 for 5 on third down. They only made it to third down 5 times, guys. I've been trying to tell you, there's some things here that are out there. And then average gain per play, 8.5 for the Green Bay Packers. Again, they beat the Chicago Bears 20-19 on a heartbreaker, blocking the field goal from Cairo Santos as time expired in this one. Caleb Williams certainly put together a great game for his young career, something he can certainly build off of. We will hear a little bit more from Coach Eberflus, but I want to hear from you. I will not play a Coach Eberflus interview, the whole thing, until I finish talking to everybody that calls in right here. I assure you that. All right, so if you got something to say, I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. Your call's next right here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Was it the mechanics of the block? Was it someone that blew an assignment? Were there adjustments that should have been made? Things we can discuss as the Bears lose to the Green Bay Packers 20-19. It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you all the way till 5 a.m. right here on the Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Fireplace and Chimney Authority. So the way it works is, you know, Monday, I got you on the overnight. I hang out with you. I'm your late night warrior. Shout out to everybody that's up right now and listening on the Odyssey app. I lead you and then I hand the ball off like Caleb did to DeAndre Swift on that 50-some yard run to Dustin Rhodes. He comes in with the pregame show leading you into Mullion Hall. Mullion Hall, they got some great guests. Holden Cruz hangs out with the guys at 7. DJ Moore will join at 8, and then Brad Biggs will come in at 9 o'clock. Of course, Marshall Harris, Dan Bernstein come on right after that. They have Anthony Herron and Dan Weider on their show. And then Spiegel and Holmes, the fellas, my guys, two of the nicest, by the way. They have some great guests as well. Kurt Warner jumps on at 3, Mark Grody at 4, and then, of course, Jalen Johnson. It should be a weekly alarm in your phone. Mondays at 5 o'clock, Jalen Johnson right here on 670 The Score, the only place to get it. The best coverage of Bears on your football Monday. But for me, I'm the therapist. We get to hang out. Nobody takes as many calls as I do. So that's the good thing about it. I want to hear what you got to say. Let's jump out to Joe out in Cicero. So, Joe, you have an apology. Who are you apologizing to?
I'm not apologizing. Gabe, I love you. Love the show. You know what this game was? I'm old, so I'm going to go back some years. You're 18 years old at the drive-in movie, making out with your girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
You get to second base, and she tells you to stop. That's what this game was, a tease.
Dude, why are you sexualizing the Bears game?
Well, we're late night radio, so we could do this.
That's right. That's a good point. I think if there's one place to do it, this is probably the place to do it.
My point is they showed you what they can do. They fell a little short. But the thing is, all right, the coaching staff, this and that, everything is in question. But, you know, Matt Eberflus, he's on contract through 2026. Okay, him and Ryan Poles are tied at the hip because Poles went to bat for him. So I'm thinking.
What's your biggest complaint? Let me point you in a direction. What do you hate the most about Eberflus?
I don't hate Eberflus.
No, I didn't say you hated him.
Great guy.
I'm saying, what do you hate the most about obviously you feel like there should be a change in coaches, right? So in your mind, what do you dislike the most about?
Eventually, but I think if it happens, it should be the Ryan Poles and Eberflus together because they're tied at the hip. And, Poles
kind
of doubled
down. But, Joe, tell me what you don't like about them. I'm trying to get you somewhere. Instead of you going fluff,
what I don't like about him, I can't really think of what I don't like about him.
That's my point. That's what I'm trying to get at right now. Like, we need to be more specific about what we don't like about people.
He was aggressive through the whole game until he wasn't, and that's what cost him the game.
Okay, I like that. I like that. He wasn't aggressive enough.
That one last play, take the chance. I mean, come on. They were, 3rd and 19 or 4th and 19 or whatever the hell it was?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody thought what was going to happen was going to happen. I mean, what do you got to lose? You're going to probably lose your job. What do you got to lose? Just go for it. What do you got to lose now? Just go for it.
7 plays, 42 yards in 3 minutes. That's what the last drive was. It was an opportunity for the Bears to establish their dominance, right? You talk about lack of aggression, Joe. That's what you're really saying. And you need to change the narrative surrounding the Chicago Bears, especially in this rivalry. And you had the opportunity to do so. You had an opportunity to slap them one more time. That's what it really was. It's that you went and talked trash to the bully, and you said, what's up?
Exactly.
And the bully slapped you. The bully slapped you. You had an opportunity to take your one shot to knock him out. You didn't. You backed up a little bit, and he slapped you in the face and walked away, and you didn't do anything about it.
And I'm going to tell you a story. I was bullied as a kid, and this kid bullied me through my whole grammar school career. And then he went to high school. He was a freshman year. He used to chase me every day and punch me in the stomach. Okay? He caught me in front of my house. In front of my house in Cicero, and he's going to attack me again. And you know what I did? I had a growth spurt that year. I was in 8th grade. And I was taller than him, and I had a long reach. I just reached forward, and I gave him a right hook. I knocked him on his ass. And that's what the Bears needed to do today, and they didn't do it.
And they didn't do it. I mean, and that's the problem right there. Well, Joe, I appreciate the call. Always enjoy talking to you.
They need 6 more games. They need to win 6 games. It's not over till it's over.
Yeah.
6 games.
And then
let's do it.
And then if you ever see my guy Dominic Shulo out there, And Cicero, you make sure you tell him I said what's up out there in the police force.
I sure will. This is Cicero Joe signing out. Thank you, Gabe.
All right, man. Have a good night. Shout out Cicero Joe, man. He's always one of the good guys. And also shout out Dominic Shula. Dom Shula's a good guy, man. Good people out there in Cicero. I live in Oak Park, so, you know, I like to take advantage of the surrounding suburbs. Cicero and Berwyn, stop it. I tell people that all the time. They're like, man, what's the best part about living in Oak Park? Berwyn. I've used that joke a lot, but it's true. I say it all the time. All right, 312-644-6767. You heard how I kept Joe accountable, though. If you don't like Flus, if you don't like something, again, we're going to do solutions, not problems, right? Or at least trying to figure out what the problem is so that we can find solutions. But when Joe started talking about getting bullied, Tyler, I got to be honest. When I said therapist, Gabe, I guess maybe I got a future in this, you know? People opening up about their past childhood traumas. I feel like I'm doing some good work here. But I want to give you the opportunity to talk about some trauma from last night, the trauma from the Bears game. Let's go out to Adam in Forest Park. Adam, welcome to the show, man. Therapist Gabe is here for you, regardless of what you need me for.
You know what? I need it. I need it, man. I can't handle it. We asked for years to have a quarterback that could take you down the field in the fourth quarter. We have a winning quarterback. Let him go win.
And he's done it multiple times, right? And it's so funny you bring that up because you say that. These are things that happen to the Chicago Bears, right? The Bears score the touchdown, right? The Bears are the ones that score the touchdown to make it 20-19. The Bears are the one that miss the two-point conversion to at least get it to 3 points. And then the Bears are the ones that allow the team to come down on 3rd and 19 and give it up and then give up another pass to put them in field goal range. The Bears are the ones that do that. And then they finally find themselves on the other side of it where they're the ones that are the beneficiary from all these things. And they just can't do the final thing to get them over the hump. It's torturous.
It's torture. You're absolutely right. But I mean, it has to fall at the feet of coaching. When you asked about the last caller, would he give you something he doesn't like?
Yes.
Under pressure, under extreme pressure, Eberflus has shown us that he can't make the critical call. The 13 yards at the end of the Washington game. A 48-yard field goal, yeah, you should make it, but it's not a chip shot. You took the ball out of your quarterback's hand. You had the opportunity to build a foundation of a winning culture with him. Now how's he going to feel? The narrative could have been so different after this game, after the Washington game. What are we talking about if they win those two games? This kid is going to end up expecting to lose because he can't get past his coaching.
Yeah, and it's frustrating. Crazy, it's frustrating because, again, when he touches the podium, I've been saying it all night, if you're just tuning in and you haven't had an opportunity to hear Caleb Williams speak in the press conference, I'll play it a little bit later. But you should take the 8 minutes before you go to bed. Instead of watching whatever videos you're going to watch before you go to sleep, maybe you should watch Caleb Williams for 8 minutes to really feel good about yourself. Because he's good at the podium. You know what I'm saying? He's good at the podium. And he made me feel good because he is a winner. I hope he doesn't expect to lose, though, Adam.
I do, too. That's the mentality in this town. We're all traumatized. You were at home against your rival. Had a chance, man. Like think about how sick the Bears defense, they weren't at their best today. And your offense had your back.
Adam, do me a favor. Just for me, because, you know, this is the therapist's lounge. But sometimes the therapist himself needs therapy, right? Sometimes the therapist himself needs therapy. So, you know, Adam, we're friends, man. You know, like if you were, let's say you've been coming to me for a long time. You've been listening to these Bears post games for a long time here on The Score. And so now we've had a good relationship. And I feel like I can ask you a question. And I can ask you to do something for me. Can we just, for like 60 seconds, Tyler, producer Tyler, I need you to hold this accountable for 60 seconds and 60 seconds only, okay? This is me. It's self-serving. I understand it. Adam, can we just pretend for 60 seconds that the Bears did make that field goal? Can we just, for 60 seconds only, though, okay? That's it. And now I want to know what you're going to talk about for 60 seconds, right? All right, so we're going to get 60 seconds. Tyler tells me we got 60 seconds. All right, we got Adam from Forest Park. Adam, Bears kicked the field goal to win the game. I mean, how are you feeling right now, Adam? I know don't call me with negativity. I only want good vibes. 60 seconds.
It would be amazing. It's finally happened. You 10 straight losses. The kid gets it done. You don't take the ball out of his hands. He drives it down the field. We should be feeling fantastic because we won.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say.
Yeah, thanks for
that's
the
how call. I want to feel.
I get it. Thanks for the
driving
call.
Me nuts, man.
Thanks for the
thanks,
call.
Thanks, Gabe.
Yeah, I got you.
You're the best, bud.
Make sure you call me next week, too, when we're out here. Todd, I got to be honest, it's not what I wanted. That wasn't the 60 seconds I was thinking of. Is that how people feel when they're ready for a good 60 minutes and they get bad 15?
I was legitimately counting 60 seconds, too. I was ready to sound the alarm when it hit. I was prepared.
I'd be happy people would still calling and complaining, but I just wanted to know what it would have felt like, you know, just for 60 seconds.
There was that thing in the back of my mind, Gabe. I'm not going to lie. Like,
yeah,
you know, it does happen on those, the field goal try where the unthinkable happens, but the way, like how it led up to that, Caleb Williams converts on a 3rd and 19, to make it 4th and 3. I'm sorry, Gabe. Great quarterbacks make those plays. And then the 4th and 3 play. Rookie quarterback to rookie receiver.
Yeah.
That is what special tandems do. Then the next play to Keenan Allen. I'm like, holy crap. Is it actually going to fall our way for once?
Oh, my God.
And I texted you. That's exactly what happened.
You were texting the whole time.
My heart was racing before that field goal. And it sunk. It sunk on my body. That happened.
I'd taken notes, you know, because I'm taking notes during the game. You know, what am I going to talk about overnight? And I'm like, Caleb Williams wins the game despite the defense. And then it's like, this is what you have to do. The Bears are turning into a winning team. You got to find different ways to win. One week it's going to be your defense. One week it's going to be your off. Like, I was ready. I was ready for that. I really was. Bears finally do it. This is what you got to do. Despite a bad season, you can always point to the Packers game. What's the turning point? Moving forward. These are all things that I was ready to talk about. Sometimes you feel like you jinxed it. Was there a moment, and I'm going to ask the next call. We're gonna go to D on the south side because he's angry. And I'm even going to ask him. Like, was there a moment where you felt like you jinxed it?
In this Packer game?
Yeah. You yourself.
I didn't jinx it because I was kind of a nervous wreck the whole time.
Okay. So there's nothing that you can point to in your own personal life where you're like, had I not done this, I think this is what jinxed it.
So the Packer game, no. I was a nervous wreck the whole game. I will admit, though, when the Bears scored that touchdown against the Commanders, I said the game was over. I texted one of my group, and I was like, because my friend was calling me out on it like crazy. Yeah. I'm like, do not. I was like, do not blame this on me.
You're the mush.
I feel like an ass for basically saying what happened.
Yeah.
But this is not my fault. Yeah. That was one of the worst blunders you've ever seen. Like any
fault. It's your fault. No,
like any
fault.
Other fan who no, thought no, that game fault. Was over.
It's your fault. It's your fault for texting that text. I'm telling you, in this one,
I shouldn't have even admitted it, but I'm an honest guy.
No,
Gabe.
No, it's okay. This is a safe space.
Okay.
Therapist right. Gabe is here to validate your feelings.
That's true.
I too thought it was over and that the Bears won.
I do.
So did all of Chicago.
I do deserve a little bit from therapist Gabe. I'm with you the most.
Yeah. And you haven't even asked for free services yet. I got you right there. Look at that. You brought up a past trauma. And that made you feel good about it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. 312-644-6767. Your trauma came in the form of a Bears loss yesterday. Bears lose to the Packers 20-19. I am Gabe Ramirez. You're listening to a Plumbers. Excuse me. You're listening to 670, the score. Let's go out to D on the south side, as I promised. D, all right, so you're complaining about why people are happy, huh?
Yeah, why is everybody so happy? We have a coach that's a jinx. How many games have the Bears lost because of coaching?
More than we'd like to admit, right, D?
Yeah, and so until that changes, we're not going anywhere. Eagle Foo should have been gone a long time ago, okay? And him and Poles. Look at the money that Poles. They sent a guy home with $9 million. What's going to happen probably is that Poles and Eberflus, they're going to be gone because they're connected to one, to each other. And I don't think the presence of this new guy is going to allow this to keep going on. What's happening to the? It's got to. You asked Joe a couple of callers ago what he didn't like about Eberflus. It's his record. As simple as that. Why are we making
it's as simple as that? I just do not like your record.
His record. What is his record in the last 3 years? His coaching record. What is it?
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. I mean, he's 3 wins the first year, 7 the second, 4 right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. We should have won about three more games because of we didn't do it because of coaching. And that's the problem. We're not going to beat Green Bay because of coaching.
Yeah, it does seem, I think the biggest part, like when we talk about coaching, right, D, it does seem as though the Bears have, it's not even just bad coaching, but it's subpar, right? If you're thinking what average coaching would be in the NFL, it almost seems as the coaching staff kind of hurts the team a little bit. In areas like they're putting them in a position, you know, to win or to trying their hardest, but then there's certain things where it's not the players' faults, it's the coaches' faults, and then you're like, oh, that's means you're subpar in those situations.
You know, I've been watching I've lived here all my life, and good coaches or great coaches win those games.
Yeah, and they always find a good way to do so. D, thanks for the call. 312-644-6767. I mean, this Bears-Packers rivalry, it seems like it's a new low, but it's not. It's just on par for what it is. 11 straight losses. This definitely ranks up there in the heartbreaks, and we're going to talk about it next. Don't go anywhere. Brandon's up first, but I want to take your phone calls. When it comes to Eberflus, right, what is your biggest issue with him? Right, he changes the OC, gives him the reins, kind of has the men come into play, but there's still something that you don't like about him and why you feel like he cannot be the leader of this group. 312-644-6767. Your call's next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.